So I'd like to go out of order a little bit today. And before the sacrament of baptism, dwell upon a scripture this morning just for a moment with you. There in Mark chapter 9, verses 33 to 37, we find that as the disciples and Jesus had journeyed together and were passing through Galilee, they came to, it says, Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet, because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child and had him stand among them. And taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome just me, but the one who sent me." This is the reading of God's word for us today. Thanks be to God. Jesus welcomed the child. And so we too this morning shall welcome a child into our midst. As Macy and Blake bring Colton forward in our company to be baptized, let's look at this incident in Jesus' ministry where Jesus welcomed a child as an illustration of true greatness. We don't have to look very far to see examples of what the world thinks greatness is. And this season, politicians are puffing themselves up and pulling their opponents down with a vigor, hoping to persuade us to vote for them. I can't even listen to Spotify without being inundated by ads. Sadly, studies have shown that the negative ads, which tear down, are as powerful, if not more, than the positive ones, which try to present what they actually want to do with the authority that we, the people, grant them. Rome's republic fell in just such a way into dictatorial rule because the empire became so great and unwieldy it couldn't be managed by term-limited debating offices, which led to civil wars, which are hard to imagine in our day. We've experienced one civil war, which was a catastrophe for our country. There's been world wars, but in Rome's day, hundreds of thousands, and if you think about the population of the world back then, hundreds of thousands would have been millions upon millions of people. On every side, and as well on no side, just trying to keep out of the way, died in a succession of civil wars until eventually a strong man arose and took over, the first of which in the time of Jesus' birth we know as Caesar Augustus. Unbridled ambition and a cowed and willing and desperate people will lead to dictatorship, to tyranny, such as took over Rome in the days of Jesus' birth and on. Even though, I would hasten to add, the disciples were not immune to ambition's hold. Here they argued among themselves, thinking that Jesus wouldn't hear them, about who was the greatest among them. Perhaps even who among them Jesus most liked, they were arguing about. Someone has remarked, their rivalry illustrates the truth that God cannot trust most of us with greatness. Jesus tells them and us an eternal truth. Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last, and moreover, the servant of all. Servant leadership, where the good of the body, and in this case, where we here are assembled as the body of Christ, even more so, is placed above that of a desire for attention or self-promotion in any way. Or, let's name it, power. You know, a lot of churches are riven by people who are bringing their own problems into the body and trying to gain in some little way the power that they cannot exercise outside of the church. You think of the dysfunction that sometimes is seen in churches. It's because, as someone said, if you find the perfect church, don't join it, because it'll no longer be that. I've been trying to get my son and his family to go to church. They've got young children. Those children are growing up, getting older and older. I keep on telling him, well, he's got a sailboat now. And I said, look, there's got to be a church down there on, what's the name of that town? Yeah. Anyhow, down in Maryland, Northeast Maryland. Thank you. Yeah, I'll put you on spot more and more that now that you're here. So just be prepared. Yeah, Northeast Maryland, there's got to be a church there. There's got to be a church here for you to raise the child, to raise Colton in the faith that we all hold together. This is a family waiting to support you as you raise a child in a difficult time, a time in which ambition and seeking after power are the catchwords of the day. But Jesus tells us that there is a higher way for us to live. A servant attitude for us to take, where the good of the body is placed among that of a desire for attention and self-promotion and power. As Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 2, if you have any encouragement from being united in Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy, Paul wrote, complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one spirit and one mind. Do nothing for yourselves out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility like that of Jesus Himself, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to each the interests of others. You'll be raising Colton with these values. And as you raise him, you'll raise yourselves to aspire for this kind of servant greatness. As Jesus took that child in his arms, telling there, his disciples, and us to welcome him as we would Jesus himself. And by doing this, we will honor the Father God who sent him. Jesus is overturning the order, isn't he, of that day and of our day. David McKenna points out that the original Aramaic in which Jesus would have spoken these words, the word for child is the same word in Aramaic as servant. McKenna wrote, "The meaning of this extends beyond the common virtues of a child to the qualities that a child and a servant share." Listen to this. Each receives their identity from their parents. Colton, his identity from you, his family. And as you bring him to the church, to all of the church. The lesson McKenna drives home cannot be avoided. To take the least and the lost and the last of God's people into our arms is to identify in our own flesh just as Jesus did in his. That as a servant loses their identity by serving, they take on the identity of their master. You take on the identity of Christ, as he, being raised in the church, shall take on for himself someday when he is able to profess for himself, just as you now are pledging to profess and trust for him. That day shall come when he is able to take on for himself that faith in which you shall raise him as a Christian. Premier of which is to love the least, the last, and the lost. To seek not for himself, but for others. To give himself. To spend himself. That's our highest goal. Even our politicians at least claim to aspire to that. To spend themselves for others, that all might benefit. As you raise Colton, Blake, and Macy in the way that he should go, as the proverb says, you're raising another in the same image of the one whom you also aspire to serve. He is a fledgling disciple. You're teaching him how to fly. May the same God and Father of us all, then, through Jesus Christ, the Son, who gave his life for us all, and the Holy Spirit, who quickens and enlightens each one of us in the faith. May God and three persons then guide us and him throughout all our years. And may you lay the foundation for him, which the love of God, in which the love of God prevails over the love of the world. Amen. Heavenly Father, give us such faith as that of a child. And let us welcome. As Jesus said, to welcome a child. Welcome all who enter these doors. The least, the last, and the lost. Amen.